come on up out of the water. Let's go to the lecture at Santa Cruz Zen Center. We'll be back at the beach by noon. It was very moving to see us all gather here this morning, our cars coming up one by one, turning off the lights, quietly walking down the path, padding into the darkened zendo. It reminded me of the gathering of bodhisattvas in the Lotus Sutra. The bodhisattvas springing from the earth. We just came from our secret spaces, from all over town, to come here for our nourishment, so that we would be able to save all beings. I brought that story. It's a little sidelight from Ocean Mudra. At that time, the bodhisattvas, the great ones who had come from other lands and were more numerous than the sands of 8 Ganges, arose in the great assembly and with palms together greeted and spoke to the Buddha, saying, "World-honored one, if the Buddha will allow us diligently and devotedly to protect and embrace this sutra, read it, recite it, copy it, and make offerings to it in this world after your extinction, we would teach it everywhere throughout this land." Then the Buddha said to the whole group of bodhisattva great ones, "Enough, my good sons and daughters. There is no need for you to protect and embrace this sutra. Why? Because in my world itself there are as many bodhisattva great ones as there are sands in 60,000 Ganges rivers. And each one of these bodhisattvas has as many followers as there are sands in 60,000 Ganges. After my extinction, they will be able to protect and embrace, read and recite, and teach this sutra everywhere." When the Buddha said this, the earth of this 3,000 great thousandfold world trembled and split open, and from it innumerable tens of millions of billions of bodhisattva great ones sprang up together. These bodhisattvas all had golden-hued bodies, the 32 characteristics, and immeasurable radiance. Previously, they had all been living in the world of space below this world, and when these bodhisattvas heard the sound of the voice of Shakyamuni Buddha preaching, they appeared from below. Each of these bodhisattvas was the leader of a huge group, a following as numerous as the sands of 60,000 Ganges, and this is not to mention those who led followings as numerous as the sands of 50,000 or 40,000 or 30,000 or 20,000 or 10,000 Ganges, or those who had followings as small as the sands of 1 Ganges, the sands of half of a Ganges, a quarter of a Ganges, or as few as one part in 10 million billion myriads of Ganges, or those with as few as 10 million billion myriad of followers, or a billion followers, or just 10 million, or a million, or even just 10,000, or just 1,000, or 100, or even 10. There were some bodhisattvas that appeared who had just led 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 disciples, or only one, or those who were alone, preferring solitary practice. Such were they then to be as innumerable, unlimited, beyond comprehension, by powers of calculation or parable and simile. So that's we're in there someplace. I don't know how many followers you each have, but when your Buddha nature was calling out to you this morning, you just jumped in the car and came to the Zendo teach the Lotus Sutra, to support it, to diligently and devotedly and protect and embrace the Buddha's teachings. You heard the sound of your Buddha nature. The Buddha nature had to call Richard a couple of times, and so he came a little later. He slept through Buddha's first call. But then I won't go on reading, but just to finish the story, you know, all the bodhisattvas that were at this retreat were just amazed that all of these, you know, the earth opening up. Reb Anderson in 99 said, "Do you believe that? You know, you're Buddhists, you're supposed to believe that." But you know, he said, do you think that there's a bodhisattva that's going to save you? That's what these bodhisattvas were saying. "I can't believe this." And Maitreya, the future Buddha, you know, maybe he thought, gee, I should know about all of this. I should know about all these people that are working for me. You know, how did they all get here? And Buddha said, you know, they've been studying with me for tens of thousands of myriad of billions of kalpas. And Maitreya goes, "Well, but you've only been a Buddha a short time. What's the deal? I mean, you were a prince in Shakya, and now you're a grown-up and you've been teaching us. You've only been a Buddha for a short time." And then the next chapter is where the Buddha explains, he breaks the news that he's had this incredible lifetime, the lifespan of the Tathagata. And he explains that even though he's only appeared as Gautama Buddha in this Nirmanakaya, in this physical form, for these last couple of decades, he's actually been a Buddha for many eons, and we chant that chant regularly, the lifespan of the Tathagata. So This is us. We all sprang out from our spaces at the sound of Buddha's voice today. And we're supporting, practicing, embracing, diligently devoted to this practice. Richard.
What in that cosmology is the picture of repeating universes, since obviously the way Rev was asking that, I mean, he's also asking, well, since we know human beings have only been here with Homo sapiens for 60,000 years, and then again, what are you talking about? In that cosmology, is there a story of repeated big bangs? Anything about what they're even referring to?
I just don't know.
No.
I think it's beyond our comprehension. Buddhas and ancestors continuously maintain the ocean mudra samadhi. While swimming in this samadhi, they expound, realize, and practice. This is called coursing along the bottom of the deepest ocean. So we're here in Sesshin for 3 or 4 or 5 days. We have this opportunity to continuously practice our ocean mudra samadhi. We can do it here on the kitchen, on the cushion or in the kitchen, or during work practice. That makes good sense to me. Again, another memory from Tassajara in 99. Reb encouraged us that, we were able to talk during work practice. We could talk with each other on the days off every 4 or 5 days. But he encouraged us, before we talk to someone, to ask them first, excuse me, are you meditating now? And I was shocked. I was, this was our day off. This was our day off from meditating. And to think that there were people going around following their breath, being mindful of their hands, paying attention to their suffering and the cause of suffering. I said, I need to look at this. What's my practice? What's my motivation? What's my effort? I was certainly grateful for the practice at Tassajara, for all the sitting, for the studying. And I was thinking, I could... There's more to be had here. There's more to be. I can look at my practice. There's more to be had. But this is what Dogen is telling us, that the Buddhas and ancestors are maintaining this samadhi, this attitude of the deepest part of the ocean. Cool, filled with all the basic elements. Closely investigate these words of the Buddha. Attaining the way and entering realization do not necessarily require extensive learning or explanation. This practice isn't outside of the sutras, which is our school. Anyone can attain the way through a simple verse of four lines. Even scholars with extensive knowledge can enter realization with a one-line verse. So this is a meditation. This is our practices is this ocean mudra samadhi. A little study, but basically ocean mudra samadhi. This body is a coming together of elements. It is not merely a coming together, it is elements coming together. A body formed in this way is described as this body. So this is, I mean, this is us. I think in our practice, we've touched that calm foundation, cool place in our bodies that is different from but not separate than the lives we lead on the surface with all of its storms and doldrums. The Buddha said, at the time of appearing, elements appear. Therefore, appearing does not enter one's perception or knowledge. So this is a body that we don't think about. This is a body that we sink into. This is a body that we have to shed a few things. Our bathing caps, our grasping, our discriminative mind, you know, how can I get out of this? You know, what am I going to do here? That's a clue, but that's not how we enter this body that's coursing on the floor of the ocean. Therefore, appearing does not enter one's perception or knowledge. It is not that there is someone else who perceives or thinks that the person appears. It is just that you see beyond and you drop away your initial understanding. As the time of the ocean mudra samadhi is not other than appearing, appearing does not fail to fully manifest skin, flesh, bones, and marrow. As appearing is a coming together, appearing is this body, appearing is I appear, appearing is all the elements coming together. What appears is not merely sound and form. All elements appear as I appear and as I do not say I appear. So this is none other, this samadhi is none other than appearing, and it does not fail to manifest fully the skin, flesh, bones, or marrow. You know, of course, that's the story of Bodhidharma transmitting the Buddha Dharma to his four senior disciples. They each got a piece of the very body of Buddha. So this body that forms, that we visit here in our samadhi, is the very skin, flesh, bones, and marrow of Buddha, of our Buddha nature. Appearing is a coming together. It's appearing of the body. It's appearing of the elements. It's appearing of, this is when I appears. So this ocean mudra samadhi is that time when my bones are no different than the tan or the floor, when my breath is no different than the air around me, when the heat that I feel in my body is no different than the cereal we had this morning, when the blood coursing through my body is from the San Lorenzo River, that's a very part of the great ocean. So it's this merging of subject and object. When we think that that ton is out there, it's really our bones. When we think that the air is out there and my breathing is here, this samadhi is really the unity of all the universe. When I'm thinking and processing these thoughts, and I'm able to slow that thinking down, when I'm able to finally come back to my breath, when I'm acutely aware of just my sense gates, my ears, my eyes, my smell, the touch, when I'm aware and ready to move from this completely unified, intimate place, ready to base my next action on this intimate, connected body coursing at the deepest part of the ocean. That's my ocean mudra samadhi. That's this body, that's the I that appears, that does not say, I appear. The ocean mudra samadhi is that merging of subject and object. And that's not a mysterious place. I think at some point in all of our meditation, we can stop that thinking. We can be just settled completely on the cushion. We're just engaged in our breath, breathing in long, breathing out long. We've merged with that object, that thinking, that thought, and ruminating on it right now. We've merged that into just pure awareness of our body, of our sense gates, of the world around us that we're so intimate with. So it's that term, merging of subject and object is really our body, is really our meditation, is really something that we do again and again on the cushion. An ancient Buddha said, "What about the moment when appearing and disappearing continue endlessly? Appearing and disappearing." Kathy, do you have 3 minutes?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. This is where I reference you.
Oh, well.
I want to give you full credit.
Okay.
What about the moment when appearing and disappearing continue endlessly? Appearing and disappearing continue endlessly while self appears and disappears. Reflect on the word continue endlessly and let them continue endlessly. Allow the moments of appearing and disappearing to continue and discontinue as the life stream of the Buddhas. The moment when appearing and disappearing continue endlessly is what appears and disappears. This means, with this body I awaken beings. I expound Dharma. You have attained my marrow. You have my bones. So, appearing and disappearing endlessly is like, you know, didn't we fix Iraq? What's happening in Iraq? I thought we fixed that once before. Or didn't Ukraine and Russia split up decades ago? How come they're still so complicated? Or didn't we fix that part of our relationship before? Why are we still working on that again? So this is our life. This is, in this life, things appear and disappear continuously, endlessly. And with this life, with this body, I awaken beings. This is Kathy's inspiration. This is in no other place do we awaken but in our delusions and our suffering. Enlightenment is not a rarefied state that we achieve, that we go to and finally achieve. Awakening happens in the middle of this thing that's over and over again, our delusions, our suffering, and we do that by finding this I that does not say I. We recognize somehow this mindfulness goes off that, yeah, this is my suffering. This is the part that I need. This is where the Bodhisattva needs to come save me, right here in the midst of my suffering. And this is where we find that calm place once again, that intimate body that's intimate with all possibilities, that's compassionate and doesn't reject all the possibilities. And this is where that Bodhisattva, you know, emerges out of the ground and points us to our Buddha nature. So thank you for that inspiration, Kathy. And Dogen himself was inspired by this body where moments appear and disappear endlessly. So in this ocean mudra samadhi, elements appear and I appear. Elements disappear and I disappear, and I do not say, I disappear. Disappearing has been magnificently expressed as countless hands and eyes of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. It is unsurpassable nirvana. It is death. It is freedom from attachment. It is called the abiding place of refuge. So, the disappearing part of this equation. And I was a little surprised that Dogen says that disappearing is the countless hands and eyes of Bodhisattva. That, the Bodhisattva of great compassion that reaches out without thinking, really sort of instinctively, non-perceptually, just reaches out with countless hands and eyes to relieve suffering. There's a part, of course, in the Lotus Sutra about that, where a whole list of terrible suffering, being attacked by bandits, just call out for Avalokiteshvara and your suffering will be relieved. Locked up in a dungeon, just call out and your suffering will be relieved. In a pit of vipers, just call out and your suffering will be relieved. And we've got that, Kokyo was just talking about that koan, and this fascicle talks about that koan as well. What is that? How does Avalokiteshvara, with her myriad hands and eyes, relieve suffering? And it's the koan tells us, it's reaching back at night and adjusting the pillow. It's just that unconscious movement to get a little more comfortable, to feel the ocean breeze cooling us off in the afternoon. It's just that unconscious movement to be a little more comfortable. And I could see that in the appearing, this body that appears intimate with all things. The I that does not say I. I was thinking, that would be a body that could relieve suffering. But Dogen says it's this disappearing body that is the Bodhisattva of compassion. I started thinking of people who had disappeared. I thought of Jean Marie Peterson. I thought of Craig Adams, who died back here in our studio apartment. I thought of sitting around Catherine in her last week, sitting around her bed with all of us. In their moment of disappearing was a great compassionate teaching welling up from them, pointing us towards our Buddha nature, pointing us towards our body, towards the I that does not say I, teaching us our true nature. And, you know, what we felt, you know, a lot of us were sitting with Catherine, what we felt was this great compassion, this wordless compassion. It was not, it was a different teaching than we had heard for 20 years, Catherine sitting on this seat. It was this wordless but very compassionate teaching us the Dharma one last time. And we felt that from Craig, and we felt that from Jean Marie. So that makes a little sense to me, that disappearing is magnificently expressed as countless hands and eyes of the Bodhisattva of compassion. To see four great elements and five skandhas as the path of disappearing is going beyond and encountering reality. The entire body is hands and eyes, not lacking anything. The full range of the body is hands and eyes, not lacking anything. Disappearing is the activity of Buddhas and ancestors. So, the five skandhas, form, feeling, perceptions, formations, and consciousness. I mean, this is our suffering body. This is the body that we have right here, our conventional bodies and minds this is our suffering body. And as Avalokiteshvara tells us every morning in the Heart Sutra, all five skandhas are empty. They appear, they disappear. They're conditioned. They depend on the conditions right here and right now, and there'll be another set of conditions in the next moment. So these five skandhas is our suffering body, and it's the path of disappearing. And as Kathy has taught us, as Dogen has taught us, that it's with these five skandhas, this body, these feelings, these thoughts and perceptions, this consciousness, where we find enlightenment and we encounter reality. So I think Dogen in this part really wants us to understand that he's not talking about a special place at the bottom of the ocean, but that our body that appears and disappears, the elements come together and form this body, is our five skandhas, that is continuous, that's not different than the ocean, than the body coursing on the ocean. And of course, you know, we know that. We can see that with our eyes. We can stand at the lighthouse and know that the waves that we see are no different than the ocean floor. So this is where Dogen is reminding us that this samadhi is not just here on the cushion during Sesshin. This samadhi, this continuous body and mind practicing endlessly is practiced at work and at home in our relationships. And it's right here in this body that we go beyond and encounter true reality. This entire body is hands and eyes, not lacking anything. Disappearing is the activity of Buddhas and ancestors. So disappearing is also the cessation that's described in the Four Noble Truths, the third of the Four Noble Truths, the cessation that's the relief of our suffering, of our relief of our grasping. Disappearing is the activities of the Buddhas and ancestors. This is what we do as bodhisattvas. We relieve suffering. Suffering ceases over and over again. And this ocean mudra samadhi is the samadhi of Buddhas and ancestors. Disappearing is our path. Samadhi is actualization. Samadhi is expression. It is the time of night when a hand is reaching back, groping for a pillow. When the hand reaches back for a pillow at night, this groping is not limited to thousands and millions of eons, but is, as the Buddha says in the Lotus Sutra, I am always in the ocean expounding the wondrous Lotus Sutra. Let's keep practicing this ocean mudra samadhi. Let's be aware of the eye that appears and the eye that disappears. Be aware of the appearing of suffering and the cessation of suffering. Let's continue to get to know this body that is intimate with all things, that's compassionate, it rejects nothing, it takes on everything. Everything is part of the limitless possibilities of this true body. Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dark